Someone's commenting on citizenship and saying, well, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it, so no passport, no Arabic. So learning the language, having certain ideas there that we are to adhere to, but saying actually, if we don't have citizenship, then why should we comply?
Yeah, I mean, this is all the points that keeps coming. Even yesterday, somebody asked me about that lady who's been here for 27 years, you know, why she didn't get the nationality and so on. But first of all, the point about learning Arabic, that's why we keep saying, when you learn any language, like I have a little bit of Korean in me, I know a little bit of German, that's because I choose to. I want to learn these languages and I get influenced. And people have to remember, when you speak a language, you get influenced by its culture a lot.
And language, you learn about the culture.
Absolutely.
The
and there's a lot of things that you can pick up if you really pick up a language. So that's for you if you want to learn the Arabic language. It has nothing to do certainly with the citizenship. That's something else. It's a different topic. It has to do with its political thing. But just to make it very easy, please understand the United Arab Emirates as a government do actually have a law about citizenship and about nationality. And those who think that we don't give nationalities are mistaken. Our government do have a law that you have to meet the criteria for it, and there is a lot of people in this whole region who don't have a nationality but been living here for 50 years 60 years, who are first the priority. Once those people are actually done with their own nationalities, it takes time, procedures and criteria, and then I'm sure in the coming years the things will happen for the rest. But that doesn't mean that there's a family who is originally from India or originally from Iran or originally from somewhere did not become an Emirati. There is a lot of examples. So I think what people think is why, you know, what we don't find like a British person who's been here for 20 years or 30 years to become.
And they don't have to be mutually related in that way. There are many people throughout Europe who have been granted citizenship, but they've been living there 20, 30 years and they can't speak German very well, or they can't speak French very well. So it is it's an interesting discussion, but they're not mutually exclusive, and they're not always have to be tagged together.
Mm-hmm. A great part of the Emirati heritage is horsemanship and horses, the Arabian horse. And of course, we had the Dubai World Cup yesterday.
Yay,
and we were all there. Yes, congratulations. And you were there, Ali. And tell us what you were doing. You were there under quite an auspicious invitation. So,
yeah.
And what you learned from the experience yesterday.
Well, I think, thanks to Falcon Associates for inviting me. It's been such a great journey, and to be even considered, you know, one of these very distinguished guests that have been invited from around the world. I think it was like a wedding, you know, it was like really like a wedding, and then the bride is coming and
so
the groom
festive.
And everybody's coming. But I remember in the morning when I attended one of these lovely branches, and we've heard all the great ministers speaking. I mean, I've got the chance to meet, you know, Her Excellency, Reem Al-Hashmi, one of the ministers in the country, and His Excellency Mr. Mohammed Al-Gargawi, and you know, everybody was just buzzed because of the great talk, you know, our leader Sheikh Mohammed, you know, was delivering and so on. So the energy was just unbelievable and beautiful, networking with everybody. And I still remember how you know, the comment that when Sheikh Mohammed said, you know, simply that, you know, I'm just so happy that all of this happened, and you know, it made everybody happy, and it came all together, and this is why he's, you know, he's pleased about the show. So the race itself, I mean, it's amazing. You know, we have to be so proud. Congratulations to Godolphins and all these great, you know,
the horse Monterosso
for actually. When the first thing I did is like I wrote Monterosso, and both of them I spelled them wrong because I was too excited. Like Monterosso did it. And it was really great.
And Mikhail Barcelona is the jockey. Yeah.
And it was just, and he's only 18, I think, the jockey is only 18 years old, so he's kind of new to this. But, you know, the whole experience, the whole energy was beautiful. And, you know, about a month ago, or maybe less, 3 weeks ago, I was at Maidan, and I just took a picture, I remember, and I just posted it on my Facebook and Twitter, and I said, this is the crown of all tracks of horses around the world. And I remember somebody's asking me, why you guys did this? And I'm like, you see, in this part of the world, don't say why, because we always do things that we do believe it's good for many, many reasons. But you have to ask, you know, the impact of this great thing is, yesterday we had people from all over the world coming to Dubai, once again proving that Dubai is the heart of the world. It's where everybody comes to meet, having great time, meeting, networking, you know, connecting with one another, and also living this dream city. I mean, there's people around the region who today take Dubai as an example, who wants to live up to this level of quality and everything. So the Dubai, you know, Horse Cup is it's like a star now. I feel it's like one of these major things that really brings so much identity and national identity and living in diversity. Because if you go there, you really feel like you're living not only Dubai. You're living in Dubai because of the nationalities.
Because of the nationalities. Yeah, and then you've been at the Abu Dhabi Book Fair, which is running this week as well.
Yeah, well, it's the last 2 days now, today and tomorrow.
Okay,
so, yeah.
And one of the things that came out of that experience for you was somebody from Norway came up to you and said, asked you about Emirati women, local women, and saying, yeah, you know, when is it going to be that it's equal between the men and the women? So when we're looking at diversity, what we bring, each person brings their own opinion, their own judgment. And how did you reply to him?
Well, it was that was actually after my session when I delivered it, so he was kind of waiting. And you always know those people who stands in the waiting, they want to give you like that very strong question. And he said, I want to ask you, but I might offend you. And I said, I dare you to offend me. Nobody can offend me. I'm happy to take any question. He says, when is it going to be that there's equalism between men and women in the country? So, you know, there is certain ways that you can always be emotional and answer in a very negative way or wrong way. But I just said to him, first of all, what is the definition to equality to you? You know, what is it? So like, why you don't have, you know, a woman leader or like, you know, like a leader in the country? I'm like, first of all, you know, you should understand that, first of all, in terms of men and women, you know, when it comes to education, when it comes to health, when it comes even to home and owning a land and owning all of this is actually equal. Everybody, a widow gets a house, a divorced lady gets an opportunity to work, and just like a lady who can, you know, graduate and find a job. So it was fascinating to go through it. But the major thing was the following. He is asking about why the Arab leaders, the Arab countries don't have a woman as a president, for example. And why she's not being treated very well. So then I told him the following. I said, you see, America is 250 years old, and they never had a woman president. if you go to UK, for example, we know that there is a queen, but that exists everywhere. We do have princes, we do have queens here. But then you have to understand, in our own part of the world, you know, it is not something negative when the man leads, when the man of the house, the father, is taking care of things. We have traditions, we have values. Why should we get out of that? Today we have sport cars driven by women. We have ambulances driven by by women. We have airplanes captains. We have pilots. We have teachers. We have doctors. We have engineers. We have tourist guides. All you've ignored all of this equality and still see it.
What about ministers, as you mentioned?
And ministers as well, ministers and ambassadors,
business owners.
Today, the equality that people should look at is the following: is that today this country, the United Arab Emirates, is the number one country in the entire world with the number of graduate women who goes right away and finds a job. There are countries in Europe and in around the world who is not able to accommodate and or even have enough of educated women to actually graduate. And it has to do a lot with the number of population. The biggest population in our region is below 25 or 15 years old, so they are all youth. Therefore, we are putting our own hope and giving them the best education. So the guy was completely, he's like, oh my goodness, you're good, you know, and all of this. So I said, it's all about the definition. There is no right or wrong question. There is how you basically project it. If you're saying to me that why your people are not treating women right, it's different from saying, you know, what's your view on women and how
Absolutely.
Did it progress? I have to be also, I told him clearly my sister's story. 15 years ago, my sister, 20 years ago, my sister had a driver license because the government gives her the opportunity to have a driver license. Yet, for the first 5 years to 10 years, she was not driving alone. I used to always be with her, or I will have to be joining her on all of her trips, because the parents at that time were not 100% sure that, God forbid, if the car stops in the middle of the highway, how is she going to call? There is no phone. How is she going to be able to change a tire? Step by step, the country grown. Today we have gas stations, we have AAAs, we have phones, they can call. Women start driving. Today, if a woman doesn't drive or doesn't have a car, that's the way you're like, what, really? There is no woman driving? So the point is we are really progressing and we are maturing more and more every day. And equality actually begins from this part of the world, because if it comes to the religion, Islam have given actually the rights to women to actually, speak and study and
to
learn
vote,
and to vote
fight
and,
in
and
wars
absolutely.
And in battles.
So I just hope that, all these, it's all about assumption, right? I mean, I refer to assuming or wrong information.
Or perception.
Perception is the 21st century disease.
And also, there are issues in every society that need to be considered and looked at. If there are areas in which women would like to do better in or progress, one of the, for examples, at the University of Ajman, I believe, Suzanne, they have a major, a bachelor's degree on how to be, I think it's to do with the role of the woman, a mother. And so they found that a lot of the ladies nowadays are getting busy with their studies and going out there working. They're finding it difficult to balance the role of, being a career woman as well as home. So what a great course. What a great way to manage this.
And someone's saying we must remind you about Margaret Thatcher. So we've done that. Yes, Margaret Thatcher.